External to the spiritual world. The spiritual world existed when there was no material world. Samyana matram, only the consciousness of the living entities. Avyaktam, unmanifested. Prashuptam, sleeping. Iva, life. Vishvata, all over. Translation. Before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, I alone existed with my specific spiritual potencies. Consciousness was then unmanifested, just as one's consciousness is unmanifested during the time of sleep. Purport. The word aham indicates a person. As explained in the Vedas, nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam, the Lord is the supreme eternal amongst innumerable eternals, and the supreme living being among the innumerable living beings. The Lord is a person who also has impersonal features. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, Varanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabhyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Consideration of the Paramatma and impersonal Brahman arose after the creation. Before the creation, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead existed, as firmly declared in Bhagavad Gita 18.55. The Lord can be understood only by Bhakti Yoga. The ultimate cause, the supreme cause of creation, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. who can be understood only by Bhakti Yoga. He cannot be understood by speculative philosophical research or by meditation, since all such processes came into existence after the material creation. The impersonal and localized conceptions of the Supreme Lord are more or less materially contaminated. The real spiritual process, therefore, is Bhakti Yoga. As the Lord says, Bhaktya mam abhijanati, only by devotional service can I be understood. Before the creation, the Lord existed as a person, as indicated here by the word aham. When Prajapati Daksha saw him as a person, who was beautifully dressed and ornamented, he actually experienced the meaning of this word aham through devotional service. Each person is eternal, because the Lord says that he existed as a person before the creation, agre, and will exist after the annihilation. The Lord is a person eternally. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur therefore quotes these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:9-13-14. Na chantara na bahir yasya na puravam na picha param. Purva param bahish chantar jagato yo jagach chaya. Tam matva majam avyaktam martyalingam adhoksajam. Gopikolu kale dhamna bhavandha prakritam yata. The personality of Godhead appeared in Vrindavan as the son of Mother Yashoda, who bound the Lord with rope just as an ordinary mother binds a material child. There are actually no divisions of external and internal for the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satchidananda Vigraha. But when he appears in his own form, the unintelligent think him an ordinary person. Abhajananti mam mudha manushim tanamasritam. Although he comes in his own body, which never changes, mudhas, the unintelligent, think that the impersonal Brahman has assumed a material body to come in the form of a person. Ordinary living beings assume material bodies, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Consciousness, it is stated herein that samjnana matram, the original consciousness, Krishna consciousness, was unmanifested before the creation, although the consciousness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the origin of everything. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 2:12, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Thus the Lord's person is the absolute truth, in the past, present, and future. In this regard, Madhvacharya quotes two verses from the Matsya Purana. Nana varno haris tveko bahu shirsha bhujo rupat asil laye taranyatu shukshma rupam shriyam vina asupta shukta ivacha milataksho bhavad harhi antaran nandharad vishna shrishcha linneva katyate. Shukshmatvena harau stannau linam anyat apishyate. After the annihilation of everything, the Supreme Lord, because of his Satchidananda Vigraha, remains in his original form. But since the other living entities have material bodies, the matter merges into matter, and the subtle form of the spirit soul remains within the body of the Lord. The Lord does not sleep, but the ordinary living entities remain asleep until the next creation. An unintelligent person thinks that the opulence of the Supreme Lord is non-existent after the annihilation. But that is not a fact. The opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains as it is in the spiritual world. Only in the material world is everything dissolved. Hamalina, merged into the Supreme Brahman, is not actually lina or annihilation. For the subtle form remaining in the Brahman effulgence will return to the material world after the material creation, and again assume a material form. This is described as bhutva bhutva praliyate. When the material body is annihilated, the spirit soul remains in a subtle form, which later assumes another material body. This is true for the conditioned souls. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains eternally in his original consciousness and spiritual body. So Krishna is pointing out here that he has been there before the creation, he is there during the creation, he is there after the creation. So an important point comes up here is this verse in Bhagavatam, Bhameti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdite. That these three forms of the Lord, says here, non-dual substance, means they're not different. That the Lord is the Lord, and he's always been the Lord. So here it is pointed out, though, for the living entity, the concept of Brahman and Paramatma only comes after creation. In the spiritual realm, where the living entities are associating with the Supreme Lord, no one thinks of Brahman and no one thinks of Paramatma. They are with the Lord as Bhagavan. So these concepts only manifest in the material world because of the material desires of the living entity. So this living entity has come to the material world. He has developed these material desires. And from this has created for him a material body. And this material body then is manifest through which he tries to fulfill his material desires. Then, at the end of the creation, this is wound up. And it says the living entity is there in subtle form. He's the spirit soul. And he takes with him his desires. The gross body is wound up into the material energy. The subtle body is wound up. But the desires remain. So this is a very essential point, is that it is the desires that keep us in this material world. If the living entity is able to understand this and remove the desires within the heart, then he is able to actually advance properly on the spiritual path. Means that the living entity, the process of devotional service, removes these desires. So that when there is annihilation, there is no further rebirth. That when this material body is destroyed, either at the end of this life or at the end of the day of the life of Brahma, whatever the case, there is no desire to make it manifest again. The material body only manifests because of our material desire. And if we can remove that desire, then we are able to not take birth again. We see Krishna, he comes into the material world, and he comes with no desire. This is the difference between him and the living entity. The living entity moves with the material nature and develops attachment, develops material desire. And from this material desire, then he develops the particular body that he has. So Krishna says if one understands his birth and his activities, then we do not take birth again and our activities will be spiritual. Because we understand the Lord, he acts, but without desire. He simply acts according to his rules that he establishes. He has established all the various rules of devotional service and devotional practices, and he follows those rules without attachment to any material fruit. So if the living entity, if they also perform their duties, perform their activities without this desire for material fruit, then like the Lord, their activities also become transcendental, and their next birth is also transcendental like the Lord's. So, because in the spiritual realm, they only see the Lord and His spiritual form, His spiritual activities, therefore, there is no material consciousness or material desires. So then, Prabhupada points out here that to get to this position, that can only be done through bhakti. Only when we take up devotional service, then we can focus our mind on the Supreme Lord and come to that platform. It is very interesting that in this, Krishna is very clever, that he uses these aspects of Brahman and Paramatma to train us for the platform of bhakti. As is pointed out here, that actually the Brahman concept and the Paramatma concept are tinged materially. They have a material tinge. They're not completely pure. Because complete pure means rasa. Complete purity means pure love. So the Brahman understanding and the Paramatma understanding can only be fully focused on when there is no love. Because otherwise, the devotee with love, even he thinks of these aspects. He's thinking, this is Krishna's effulgence. This is Krishna come in the heart of every living entity. So he cannot purely think of just Brahman on its own or Paramatma on his own. So to do that, there must be some material tinge. And so the karmic, the jnanis, the yogis, this is their meditation. So they cannot be actually pure. But Krishna is so clever that in the material world, all we've been doing is all activities of karma, activities that when we get tired of that, we take up jnana, we take up yoga. And this is all we've known since time immemorial. And we've been doing this with desire. And these are the activities of the material world. So we can see that the desire for the Brahman or desire for Paramatma still is material desire. So with this, we've been acting since time immemorial. So now Krishna, he is very clever. It's like, okay, now you want to get out of this material world. You want to develop love for me. So you do this, take the same things you've been doing, but now do them without desire. And do them instead of for ourselves, for Krishna. So therefore, we understand the knowledge about Krishna. We understand the knowledge of the material world. We understand the position of the Brahman, but without desire and without attachment. And we understand through meditation and these aspects, the position of the Super Soul, but without attachment, without desire. And through these principles, then one is elevated to the platform of bhakti. And only on that platform then, one can understand Krishna's relationships with the devotees in the spiritual realm. Because that's not based on knowledge, it's not based on meditation, but it's based on love. This is the interesting point, is that we are cultivating knowledge, we are cultivating this meditation, the process, but actually, the real process is love for Krishna. And when there's love, you automatically think about Krishna, you talk about Krishna, you absorb your activities in Krishna. So for the devotees, it is part of the process of sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, that bring us to the platform of prema bhakti. So it's very clever how Krishna has done this. And here he makes the point that he has been there, he is there. He alone existed with his specific energies. So he is a person. And even after annihilation from here, he still remains as a person. And that is further substantiated that the energies are there. So he is reciprocating with those energies. It's not just he is there in the Brahman floating. No, that doesn't happen. No, no one's doing that. Some living entities are doing it. But the Lord doesn't do that. The Lord is sitting there in the Brahman, the Karanadak ocean, with all his associates. And he is interacting with them. We see when Krishna and Arjuna went to visit Mahavishnu, they went, nice palaces there, the Lord is there, he receives them, they sit, they discuss. So many things are going on there. So he is there with people, with his specific energies, his devotees. And then as he creates the creation, he comes as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, again, with all those same specific personalities. Then he creates everything, enters everything, then only those specific personalities expand into the demigods and other such personalities. And then we see what's going on. Otherwise, even in the universe, all those personalities were there before the creation, before Brahma. So the Lord is always dealing as a person. And this is the essential point that's there, is that we must become, we must extricate our consciousness from the material world by the process of knowledge, by this process of meditation, by the process of engagement in devotional activities. Then we must at the same time cultivate or understand that the goal is love for Krishna. And then as we gain a taste for chanting, we gain attachment for Krishna, then gradually that love for Krishna expands. And that is what will take us from the material world into the spiritual world. So it's very important in this, even though it's a very technical point here, we must understand the actual mechanics of it, is that the mechanics are still devotion. Krishna says there's only one path, and that's his path, and that's the path of devotion. So as we accept the path, then we follow that path for devotion. Otherwise, people follow the path of Krishna's path of jnana, but not for devotion. And they try to go to the Brahman. Or the yogis follow that path, same path, just a little farther on the line. And then they try to understand, they try to get mystic siddhi or merge with the Paramatma. But actually, that path is meant for developing bhakti. So these technical points that are given here in the Bhagavatam are actually meant for use in devotional service. Means we understand the knowledge of the material world, we understand the process of devotional service, and we absorb our mind in thinking of the Lord. And then in this way, that is devotional service that matures into pure, unalloyed devotional service. So, any questions on this? Yes. That in the material world, Krishna is in everyone's heart, as Paramatma. So in the spiritual realm, then do the devotees there have hearts, and then is Paramatma there, is Krishna there, or how does that work? From what I've understood from the Brahma Samhita, is that when the living entity goes to the spiritual world, that Paramatma that we've known in the heart comes outside as our worshipable deity. So if we have our worshipable deity is Vaikunthapati, he manifests as Vaikunthapati outside, and then we're able to directly worship him there. And if we're worshipping Shyamasundar, then we will manifest like that. Just as in the heart of the devotee, then Shyamasundar is sitting there rather than Paramatma. He takes that form. So when we go to the spiritual realm, there's no need. What's happening is the Lord's always with his devotees. But the living entity has turned his face from Krishna. But Krishna doesn't turn his face from the living entity. So the Krishna comes into the material world as the Paramatma to stay with the living entity, to see that he is always getting some proper instruction and all that. And then as we become serious about understanding Paramatma, then Krishna, he sends us the devotees. And then the devotees instruct us about Paramatma, then we're able to understand, then we're able to realize Krishna in the heart, and then as we mature, develop love for him, then when we go back to Godhead, he manifests outside. He doesn't have to, it means it's only a temporary manifestation that he has to manifest in the heart of the living entity. Because in the spiritual realm, see, here is, you have the Chaitanya, the heart, where the living entity sits, the mind sits, everything sits, the Lord sits, and that is the source of all the remembrance and everything. But in the spiritual realm, the living entity, his whole form is Satchitananda. So ananda means relationship, that exchange of emotion. So his whole form is that. So it's not just in the heart. Though in the rasa it will be considered like that. But as such, as every, you know, every portion of him is totally in love with Krishna. You seem to be amused with that one. Huh? In the spiritual realm, you're asking, is there a portion of the body like the heart? There is these aspects, but they're there for the pastimes. Satchitananda, then the manifest. We have arms, we have head, we have hair, we have all these things. But it doesn't have to function like here. But it will be, you know, naturally that will be where it will be, the feelings will be noticed in that point to create the rasa. Otherwise, as it mentions, Krishna can, any limb, any organ is interchangeable. But for rasa, for pastime, he eats with his mouth. You know, he hears with his ears, he touches with his hands, like that. So for the rasa, then it is manifest in that way. But as far as tattva goes, then we can understand it like that. That's why at one point it's mentioned, the jnana, it actually has to take, it dissolves. If the living entity, means we understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that we disconnect ourselves from the material world. And then we understand that Krishna is the Lord and our worshipable object. But once we come to the platform of Brahma-Bhuta, then that knowledge, it gets burnt up. Means it's like the fire of this knowledge burns itself up in its own fuel. And then one develops just the attraction for Krishna because of love. Like that. Mother Jashoda loves Krishna because he's the nicest child. Means she doesn't really care if he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead or not. You know? Means for her it becomes bewildering, that aspect of knowledge. Vasudeva Devaki, it adds to their affection. If we have an ordinary child, we're attached. But if our child is God, then we're more attached. But for Mother Jashoda, it even becomes a bewilderment, because it kind of like, the kind of affection that she wants to show, it doesn't go so much. She says she's so absorbed that he's such a wonderful boy, that the knowledge that he's God becomes so secondary that it's not important. Like that. But we see that when Mother Sachi is there, she can explain nicely about the impersonal philosophy and that, and argue with Nimai when he's sitting on the pots out in the back, well, it's all the same, and then she can argue nicely. Knows the philosophy. But when it comes down to love, knowledge has, so it's like the knowledge dissolves at the platform of Bhava, at Brahma-Bhuta. And then at that point, the bud of prema starts to open. So it's, therefore it's said it's materially tinged. Because it's useful in the material world. In the spiritual world, there's no real use for it. They use it in pastimes, but they joke with it. You know, Madhu Mangal will quote the Shastras and, you know, twist them all out of the way to, you know, he says about Bharat Muni, he says that there are 8 sattvika bhavas. But in my experience and opinion, there's only 6. You know, he says, when I see the prasadam, you know, then my hairs stand on end, and then when I taste it, I become stunned. And he goes like this. So they talk about the scriptures, but they use it just for their fun and their pastimes. This, as far as loving Krishna, it's not used like that. Is that? Are we doing for time? It's okay.
7 minutes past nine.
One more question? Yes. Oh, Sat-Chit-Ananda, okay. The question is, in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada mentions that this Paramatma Bhagavan and Bhagavan connect to Sat-Chit-Ananda. That is you have the Vladini potency, you have the Samvit potency, and you have the Sandini potency. So Fladini is the pleasure potency, which arises from rasa, so that's ananda. Then your samvit is knowledge, you know, so that will give rise to the paramatma, where the knowledge, the meditation. And then the Brahman is sat, or eternality, because that's all it has. It means in Brahman realization, that's why it's not complete. It's considered, because spiritual means Sat-Chit-Ananda, all three. If you only have one or two, then it's considered materially tinged. Because what do you fill up the Chit-Ananda with? Right? If you know Brahman, you know I am soul, I am eternal, everything's eternal. But you don't have more knowledge beyond that. Right? It's just very basic. Though they spend their time absorbed in jnana, so it appears that the samvit potency is there, but because it's not connected to the Lord, it's not spiritual. It'll be the material reflection of samvit. The motive, yeah, you get it. So then paramatma, then you have the eternality principle is there, and you have some knowledge that here is the Lord, and I am there, and I am there. But until you understand that I am the servant of the Lord, then only Ananda manifests. Then you see what you see is not the Paramatma, then you see Bhagavan, then you become a devotee. But if you don't understand that, you'll see the Paramatma, you'll think this is me, and we'll merge. So your knowledge is not. So everything is based on this Sandini, Sambit, Ladini, because that's the internal potency. And that becomes reflected into the material world, like that. So then you get all these, then you get the three modes of nature and everything manifested from there. So we'll end here. Chaitanya. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jayanta Gopakrena. The material world, like that. So then you get all these, then you get the three modes of nature and everything manifested from there. So we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jayanta Gopakrena.